couple of weeks ago, we started talking about pain, if you remember. And we took a journey from looking at pain in the body to looking at pain in the brain, then to looking at pain in the mind, and looking at it ultimately in consciousness, if you remember that. And then Patricia had that question, you know, okay, pain is not in the body, it's in the brain. It's not in the brain, it's in the mind. It's not in the mind, it's in consciousness. So now what? You know? And so last week we started answering that question, and we introduced the subject of perception to answer precisely that question. Why it is important to understand that pain is not essentially in the body, not essentially in the brain, but in the mind, essentially, ultimately in consciousness, you know. What is the point? And to understand that, we have to understand perception, the whole phenomenon of perception, you know. And those who have been coming here for about a year, or at least a year, you must have realized that we have been only working on feeling, right? For the whole year, we really just worked on the aspect of feeling. Now we are moving forward. Now we are going to talk about perception. Last week I said, mind is basically made of these four layers, you know. Or you could say, anything that is non-material, because mind is such a generic term, can be confusing. Anything that is non-material has these four distinct layers. The grossest layer is feeling, then perception, then volitional formations or mental formations, and then consciousness. So in other words, in any cognitive process, any mental phenomena, what first arises is a feeling. It conditions your perception. And feeling and perception together give rise to your experience, which is consciousness, you know. So if we want to change the quality of our experience, change the quality of our life, we have to work on our feeling and perception. And we spent a year working on the feeling part. Now we're going to spend several weeks working on perception. It's fascinating. The whole topic of perception is fascinating. It's subtler than feeling, you know. So you're sitting in your meditation and you're experiencing unpleasant feeling, right? Poking needles in your knee or could be your back. When I look at that feeling as the bundle of fire elements that are arising and ceasing, something incredible happens. For some reason, I don't react to it. You know? It increases the reaction time to that pain. You know, in general, whenever we experience some unpleasantness or some pain, we rush to our medicine box and take Tylenol, right? It's just our having, because we are driven by feelings. And how we are driven by feelings, those feelings of pain make us perceive that it is happening in the body. It is happening in me, to me. This pain is mine, you know. That perception is what makes us rush to the Tylenol. Feeling and perception together. But if you just change your perception, look at that pain as the fire elements, bundle of fire elements, and we're going to talk about what exactly that is. You will see that there will be a gap that will be generated between experience, the feeling, and rushing to take that Tylenol. Your reaction time will increase. And slowly and surely the gap will expand and you will be able to transcend pain altogether. So the practice is to purify the perception. And we are purifying the perception by looking at it in the subject of pain, by looking at it as the bundle of fire elements. And I'm not just making this up, by the way. Fire elements. In fact, it was Plato, the student of Socrates, right? It was Plato who actually came up with this term, elements, you know. Plato was also the guru of Aristotle, right? You know, and most interestingly, Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, he actually used earth element, water element, fire element, and air element to diagnose the disease. It's a known fact in the science, history of science. It was called humors of the body. So earth, water, fire, and air elements were known as the humors of the body. And in ancient times, Hippocrates used those humors to diagnose and treat the disease. Buddha used the word kalapa, if you've studied Buddhism, but to describe any event of matter. He said, all matter is made of earth, water, fire, and air elements.
What about space? Isn't that a good point?
That's a very tricky one, so we'll talk about that later on. So, Buddha was what, 2500 years ago?
Well, Ayurveda goes back even further.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. What to talk about 2500 years? Almost 4,500 years ago in the Indus Valley Civilization, the Hindu philosophers used earth, water, fire, and air elements, called the Mahabhutas, to describe the substrate of matter. They said all matter is, the substrate is these elements. And even before that, Ayurveda, 5,000 years of, and it's still being practiced, and you're an expert in Ayurveda. So these elements have been used and practiced and applied for 5,000 years. Ayurveda philosophy calls it doshas, the different terms, but absolutely the same thing. They describe the whole body in terms of doshas, which are made of these four elements. And it's fascinating science. The interesting thing is the earth, water, fire, and elements are not only confined to a particular culture. You know, it has been used in the West as well as in the East. Like I said, Plato and Hippocrates, you know, even Greek philosophers. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn to look at this body as not my body, but as the bundle of earth, water, fire, air elements. You know? And again, I'm not making this up. I have 5,000 years of, you know, tradition behind, I mean, to support my hypothesis, you know. Please accept what I'm saying as a proposal, you know, as a hypothesis. But it's a good one to experiment with, you know. It's a good hypothesis to test.
But it hasn't made it to biology class.
Sorry?
It hasn't made it to biology class yet.
You'll be surprised. It's getting there. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was in the rush and just walking through the living room, and there was some show going on TV, and they were relating earth, water, fire elements to the entire periodic table. Mm. You know, hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen. Mm-hmm. The periodic table, which has 118 elements. I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, good, this stuff is now becoming mainstream. Yeah. And so, maybe in the next couple of decades, it will show up in the textbooks. You can really look at the body as bundle of these elements, and you really don't need belief, meaning you just don't accept it because I'm saying it. You know, you can experientially understand that it is indeed made of these great essentials. The ancient masters called them the great essentials. You know, look at the body. It's made of bones, flesh, and tissues, right? Those are the qualities of earth, right? Hardness, softness, mass kind of qualities, right? Blood, your sweat, 70% of our body is made of water, right? Water element, you know. Fire, the fire in the belly. We have about 97 degree Fahrenheit temperature, right? Bundle of fire elements, you know. We are breathing, hands are moving, right? Lips are moving, eyes, eyelids, air element, you know. There is a specific advantage to looking at yourself as the bundle of these four elements. Very unique advantage, and I'll explain what that is. You know, a biologist looking at a human being, you know, will say, this is made of 50 to 100 trillion cells. Right, John? Don? Right? There are about 50 to 100 trillion cells. It's like a colony of cells. Right? That's what a biologist would say. It's great, but you can't experience it, see? You can't experience it. So it remains as knowledge and not as wisdom. You know? A chemist would say, this is all made up of molecules, you know? Hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, sodium, potassium, carbon, right? We all know that this is primarily made up of these six elements. That's what a chemist would say, right? But can you experience hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon? Can't, right? So, again, it's knowledge, not wisdom. A physicist would say this is bundle of electrons and protons and neutrons and bunch of quarks, right? Can we experience electron? No, we really can't the way it is an electron or a proton, right? A negatively charged particle that rotates around the nucleus. We can't experience that thing, right? So it still is at the level of the intellect, you know? We can't really experience the quark. So what do? We want to understand everything through experience, period. That's what spirituality is all about. that is the only way to overthrow this superstition of materialism. Looking at this whole bundle as cells, or as chemical molecules, or as electrons, protons, it really, and pardon my audacity, it really falls into the realm of materialism. Yeah? It has great value, but it doesn't take you where we want to go. It doesn't transform you. Our aim ultimately is to remove pain and suffering, right? Not just to know that this is made of this and this and this. So, we experience the breath. Through its touch, through experience we realized that, yes, air elements. You experience the arising and ceasing of your stomach. You experience bodily movement. It is experiential. You experience the body weight, although weight is really not intrinsically earth element, but you experience the body weight. You experience the hardness. This is experiential, right? You experience the softness, right? Earth element, you know? You experience body temperature. You feel cool, cold, sometimes you feel warm. You actually experience the fire element. Water element, you know, saliva and sweat and blood and everything, experiential. And that's why it can transform us, you know. That's why there is no room for superstition, no room for belief, no room for the intellect to overrule. Intellect is great. But if there is only intellect, like they say, you know, paralysis by analysis, right? Intellect is great, but it has to be combined with intuition. Intuition is facilitated by experience. You know? Just as only intuition is harmful, intuition also has to be combined with intellect. Otherwise, intuition can also lead to superstition and beliefs. So it is with intellect. Then we have to combine these both things skillfully to evolve and to remove suffering. So, the first thing that will happen, if you continue to look at this embodiment as the bundle of earth, water, fire and elements, is your perception of solidity will begin to dissolve. We have this perception that I am this separate, solid, you know, person. You know, it will begin to dissolve. The perception of certainty, fixity, will begin to dissolve. You know, ego is really supported by these perceptions. Perception of fixity, separateness, solidity, you know. That's what makes us feel as a separate self from others, you know, because this thing is solid, you know. But at the earth, water, fire and element level, it's all same. She's also made of the same thing as I am made of. In even the perception of man, woman, American, Indian, black, white, all these deluded perceptions will begin to dissolve. And the sense of oneness will begin to evolve. And that's how suffering is eradicated, by feeling one with everything, one and all. You know? The perception of fixity and certainty and permanence. When you realize that everything is arising and ceasing, where breath is coming and going, feelings are arising and ceasing. Impermanence, you know? Uncertainty. And it's reality. Uncertainty is inherent in nature. impermanence is inherent in nature. But because of our deluded perception, quote unquote, we feel things last forever, you know, so we cling to them. We feel it has to be a certain way, certainty, you know. So removing solidity, the perception of solidity, removing the perception of certainty, permanence, cultivating non-rigidity, impermanence, slowly what arises is the sense of non-self, selflessness, and that's what really removes the pain and suffering.
I was just thinking about, you know, when you said give that pain, recognize that pain as a fire element, it moved. It's like, oh, it spread. You know, it went from here to here, you know. So that itself is the characteristic of the fire element, is that it rises and it falls and it spreads and it diminishes and it goes to ash and then so you can think about your body that way.
That's it's wonderful.
This bundle that will do its thing.
Right. Yeah. We start to disidentify with these things. We start to disidentify with the body and what happens there. We are not abandoning body. We are not overlooking pain. We are just disidentifying with it. We are removing body-centeredness. That's what we are doing by changing our perception.
But you'll still feel it, right?
Yes. You will feel it, but because the perception has changed, the quality of experience will change. See, feeling, perception, consciousness is your experience, right? It changes, like you said. Mm-hmm. And I experience it all the time. Just having more reaction time, I can think. I don't have to just take my Tylenol right away.
So instead of trying to get rid of it, you're learning to live with it?
Learning to live with it skillfully, intelligently. Transcending it.
It's more like seeing the unreality of how you've been looking at it, right? That's what you're pointing at? Seeing how you've been looking at this pain has been the misperception itself.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's the bottom line. In fact, if you look at all suffering that we go through, it's rooted in misperception, you know. If you really contemplate, you will notice that. So. Yeah, do you have a comment about electrons or anything that you would like to make or anything at all?
But using your perception, you can have all those experiences.
Sorry?
You can visualize an electron and identify, you know, have a really vivid experience of that, that you are a part of that. That's all. I was just thinking, because yeah, I can definitely feel energy. Mm-hmm. You may say, well, I talk about chakras.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, like, it's, what is that?
I mean, what is energy, air? Is that the
arrow? No.
Well, I can visualize it. Mm-hmm. I can say I have a chakra here. Mm-hmm. I can give it a color. So, couldn't you do that with an electron or?
Oh, absolutely.
Experience your blood running through you. But maybe I'm not clear enough. I don't know.
No, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. In fact, we are really saying the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, the only difference is electron has mass, okay? So it still has that material nature. If you were to ask a physicist what is an electron, he can only give you a quantitative definition, not a qualitative one. That's all I'm saying. You can visualize, you can experience it in the way that you're saying, and it's fantastic, and that will change your perception about who we are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed a biologist, he's got a kind of spiritual, I forget his name, but he talks about cells and how the whole planet is, you know, a collective amount of cells.
Yeah.
So we're really all kind of united in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take that further. I must be able to communicate with this, my cell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of all these, this bundle of cells. And,
right?
So that was my only.
No, that is also wonderful. It's Bruce Lipton.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you should listen to him. He's fantastic.
Yeah. I've met him, actually.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have met him? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Alan interviewed him.
And I saw Alan's video with him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was there. I was doing the sound.
Really? Oh, wow. Fantastic. Yeah, I saw Alan and Bruce Lipton in that video. It was awesome.
Biology of belief, right?
Biology of belief. Spontaneous evolution.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. You're absolutely right. So it's like degrees of practice.
Yeah.
Okay. So the biologist, the chemist, the physicist, they all can use the technique like we are using, the elements, to experientially transform their perception. The only reason I mentioned those things was to point out to the material aspects of those categories. Meaning, you see, you have to quantify a cell, you have to quantify electron, right? You have to quantify a molecule. Like what is its mass, electrical charge, and this, and you cannot qualify it the way you can qualify earth element as feeling of softness and hardness, as water, the feeling of cohesivity and stickiness, fire, the feeling of heat. You see, you can feel it. So qualitative. I wonder how if we can qualitatively identify a cell. You see? But doesn't mean you cannot use that portal to modify your perception. And you gave a great example, Bruce Lipton, and the yogis who use the chakras. So it's all valid, it's all fantastic. This is just a distinct approach where you can really, thoroughly, entirely, once and for all, overthrow the superstition of materialism.
Mm.
See what I'm saying? Meaning, at the biological level, you still haven't gone through the cell, right? The cell is still an entity. It's still a material thing. You still haven't penetrated it thoroughly, right?
Oh, but you can say a cell is the equivalent of one individual.
Right.
And then you have, you know, we're all come from the source or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
We come from something collective that unites us.
Yeah.
So we're both a cell and we're the whole planet of cells.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's beautiful, absolutely. I was just saying that it still doesn't take us to the ultimate reality.
Mm.
You know? So you are doing it fantastically using cell as a portal. But it still hasn't taken you to the ultimate reality.
Mm.
It can penetrate through the cell. Would you agree with that? A cell is made of what? Carbohydrates, proteins and lipids. Right?
Yeah.
You penetrate through that. What are those made of? Carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, sodium, potassium.
You can go right into the elements.
Exactly.
The cell is air, it's fire, because it's metabolizing. It's got this earth element.
Right.
It's got the water element. It's got it all.
Right.
So you're just saying it's the simplest way.
Right.
Let's go through the elements.
Right. The ultimate way, because you cannot penetrate the earth, water, fire element further. You cannot. It's qualitative.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go subtler. That is the only point.
Well, sure. You can look at it through a microscope and see all those other things.
No. Earth that you see, water that you drink, fire that you see is not earth, water, fire elements. Yeah, that's not earth, water, fire.
Mm.
earth element is not same as the earth. Water element is not same as the water.
Oh, it's the characteristic.
Characteristic. Mm-hmm. It's the quality of it.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm understanding here is there's a subtle difference between experiencing your imagination, for example, of an electron orbiting the nucleus or your blood cells. I'm considering those imaginations. And you can develop a experience from that, but I think what you're pointing at is what is your direct experience in the moment before imagination kicks in and hijacks what is happening right now. So I think that's what you're asking to look at before the mind takes it away on some tangent. What is the direct perception, feeling that you are having prior to mind?
Does that make sense, Mia?
But it is mind also.
It is.
Perception and feeling. It's part of mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can kind of...
The mind that we're referring to here is a silent witness without comment, without opinion, without interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's a perfect example because that is called the observer in science. And so I use that word.
So can we recognize enough of the chatter to then single out, there is what is watching, and there is the direct experience of that?
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, physicists look at particle, wave, or field. Right, Ron? Yeah? So, those are both, all are great portals. You know, you can look at the same thing as particle or as a wave or as a field. But you really cannot look at beyond field. So, the ultimate reality is the field. So you can look at your embodiment as cells or bundle of electrons and protons or as molecules, but you cannot look at it further than the elements. Just like you cannot look at further than the field. So that means you are reaching the ultimate reality.
Which is what? And you keep saying there's no sense of separate, there's no separate self. Is that the ultimate reality?
Right. The ultimate reality is consciousness. Okay. And what is consciousness? The phenomenon of experience. Direct experience, like you said. So that's the whole point, basically. It doesn't mean all other things are invalid. It's just a different perspective which takes you all the way to the ultimate.
So this, when you finally get to the sense of there's no separate self, is that equivalent to saying you don't exist?
No. So there is I, that means I exist, that's one extreme. There is I don't exist, that's another extreme. There is a third thing called non-I. So self, no self, and there is non-self. Okay? So I exist and I do not exist actually are one and the same thing. They are the two sides of the same coin, which are called delusion. So Patricia doesn't exist, but this body, mind, consciousness exists. You see? I'm not saying this body, mind, consciousness doesn't exist. It exists. But there's no Patricia there. That's all.
That's just dressing up.
Yeah, removing the... Right.
Yeah.
So the ego is the delusion.
It is the delusion, deluded perception of reality.
Well...